We're continuing from the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul to a group of people that he visited, he taught, and he left and wants to continue to encourage them. You know, we need encouragement. I tell you, one of the gifts of people I've known in my life were the encouragers. They lift you up, pat you on the back, say, hey, everything's okay. I think God invented grandparents to be encouragers. Because you know, no matter how bad you mess up, usually a grandma says, oh, that'll be all right, sweetheart. And she grab you by the cheek and say, just love your little soul. One of my cheeks was longer than the other one for 10 years. For this reason, Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake of the Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that is given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. I'm reading this, then that you will be able to understand my insight about the mystery of Christ. Lord, give us insight to love. For you don't know that Christ was instituted because of your love. And you loved us so much that you gave us him. Let us take that love and share it with others. Let us never feel alone, abandoned, without hope. For in Christ all things are possible. And if we just allow it to be your will that's done, we will be successful. For our military, for our missionaries, for our first responders, for those who teach and care for us, medical supplies and everything, give them a blessing. For the love that we can share with each other, let it be bountiful and caring. Let us put away the causes of the problems of the world. For I know that Satan's always at battle within us against you. Be the speaker this day, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. He called himself a prisoner. This man had traveled through most of the civilized world. He had spoken to kings, he had spoken to potentates, he had spoken to in front of tribunals and lawyers and all, but he called himself a prisoner. And the definition I would give for that is because what he was bound to do, he had no control. Oh, yes. He could have called down the angels as Christ did and destroyed the Roman army. He could have destroyed the generals. He could have destroyed all the politicians and lawyers. But that wasn't his choice. See, they didn't make him a prisoner. What made him a prisoner was the calling of God. Far too often, we don't want to be bound by that. We're free people. I mean, what is it like July the 4th? Going to have a bunch of hoorahs, and there are going to be some picnics and watermelons, and we're going to have a program here, and then there'll be fireworks at night, and then there'll be fireworks on TV, and we talk about all the freedoms we have, but we're not free. We all have obligations in this world to our fellow man, to our friends and family, and to the kingdom of God. So yes, we are prisoners, but we're not captives. And Paul understood that. And you know what? We, in general, are truly blessed. Where else in the world can we go outside in 500 degrees temperature and turn on an air-conditioned car, go into an air-conditioned Taco Bell, an air-conditioned movie, an air-conditioned building, and have people smile at us? Most people think life is a burden. Paul knew he was blessed. Because Paul was blessed, so were we, because we have the same God. Yeah, preacher, but I'm not sure I want Paul's blessings. He was arrested, he was tried, he was beaten, he was probably stoned, if not to death, nearly to death. He was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a snake. Things weren't all that good for the greatest writer and speaker next to Christ ever known. But yet he didn't let it bother him. Some of you thank you for it, has spent time in the military. And most of you who spent time in the military knew exactly how many days you would be through with boot camp. Now, I don't know where the boot came from. I don't know where the boot went, but we'll just call it boot camp. Then after that, you'd have so many months, days, weeks of active duty somewhere serving. And you would count the days off till you know it would be time to be relieved of that duty. Paul knew that after a period of time, of which none of it he had control over, he would be relieved of duty. We pretty much know that Paul, not the first time, but the second time he was arrested and went to Rome, died in Rome, crucified, they rumor, the talk, the thought, the legend is, as Jesus was. That doesn't bother him. I'm looking around. We have three young men who are below the age of 20. The rest of us are a little bit above the age of 20. Some of us are a whole lot above the age of 20. And you know, when we're little, we think we're going to live forever. It's all going to be ice cream. It's going to be. My grandchildren, we took them out last night. Are you ready for this? They had a cotton candy blizzard. Who ever thought of a cotton candy blizzard? When we were growing up, a metal cup with about that much Pepsi-Cola in it and a scoop of ice cream, and we called it a black cow or a float, and that was a thrill. They have a cotton candy blizzard now. Don't we live to the max anymore? I know. Preachers, Joseph, used to eat a lot of steaks. They called them tube steaks. We call them hot dogs and fried chicken. And there's a lot of things we've been truly blessed with. But the fact is, now that I'm 68, Ray, I'm going to need your walker to get out of here. Now that I'm 68, I'm seeing the other side of life. I know that I've spent more days on this earth than I'm going to spend in the future. And you know what? That's okay. That's why I buy my grandchildren cotton candy blizzards, so they'll remember me many years from now, and buy their grandchildren, I hope, something better than cotton candy blizzards. Paul knew he was going to die fairly soon, but yet he didn't grieve him at all, because what he had been through, though tough, was nothing compared to what he was going to face. I lost my grandfather when I was 12 years old. I adored my grandfather. He lived next door to me. I spent every night with him from the time that he got prostate cancer. I lived through that day by day. Didn't know much about death. Didn't know much about illness. My parents never spoke of it. But somebody gave me the book of John. And he said, I'm going to a place. And where I go, that you shall be with me. Also, it's a place of mansions and greatness. That all the heat and all the cold and all the hurricanes and all the tornadoes and all the floods and everything that we face will not even be remembered back then, because we will have finished it and it's complete. And I think that's what Paul's looking at. I'm not sure that every once in a while he'd say, you know, Lord, I'm ready. Won't you come and get me now? It's not all that friendly down here anymore at times. These people don't seem to like me, but yet I'll keep working if you let me. He goes on. This mystery is that throughout the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with the Israelites, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. That should be our hope. I'm 68 years old. I get up every morning at 4:30, go to work, outside construction. If you have not been outside this past 3 weeks, folks, it's hot out there. I have lost 21 pounds. Not intentionally at all. It's rough. I come home, I sit down at night, she feeds me supper. I eat my own supper. I fall asleep. During Jeopardy. Can you imagine falling asleep during Jeopardy? That's correct, Alex. But yet it will not last forever. And we shall go on and we face the great future. That's what Paul did. That's why it's so cold in here. I'm hot during the week. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of His power. We didn't earn anything we've got. It's all been a gift. We need to understand that and thank God for the gift He's given us. We're not great enough to create what we've gotten. But we've received it as a gift. Although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of the church of Christ. And to make plain to everyone the administration of the mystery, for the ages past has kept hidden in God, who created all things. In the time of the ancients, even in Israel, they only were told what they needed to know. They were told obedience and sacrifice. When Jesus came, He wiped out the obedience and sacrifice. It's love now. And we don't have to go through all the routines and rituals that the ancient Jews did. We, the Gentiles He's speaking of, who do not have the DNA of Abraham, but adopted into the family of God through His Son Jesus, are blessed. And Paul wants us to know that blessing is tremendous. And no matter what the hardships is we face, no matter what the sadness is, no matter who's on the news saying what about whom. Folks, if they could not write a Saturday Night Live better than the news broadcast anymore, I just love to watch it. Two people can watch the exact same thing and see two completely, totally different opposite things. Well, aren't we that way about everything? You know? Do we hear beautiful music? Some people say it's loud. Hey, folks, turn on a hard rock station for about a half an hour. That happened to me this week at work. One of the guys came in, a plumber. I like plumbers. He turned on, I don't know what it was. And after a half an hour to it, all of a sudden the electricity went off. I don't know how that happened. But it was very quiet and peaceful for a while. I'm just saying. Sometimes we have to understand the good things we have and to concentrate on the greatness that God has given us. To make plain to everybody the ministration of this mystery. They didn't know the truth till Jesus came along and He told them the mystery is love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Says it that is, can it be any plainer than that? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that does not say. That does not say whatsoever. That we're not going to physically die. Since I've been here, I've buried both my mother and my father. They passed. And I understood that. But I knew that one day again, I plan on meeting them in the Kentucky side of heaven. That's where everybody still has one tooth. And those kind of things. That's just, that, I'm kidding about that part. But there still is, I know there's that future there. And what we've got to say is there's something better going on than what I've got. And I'm going to get through what I've got by God's help and the help of my friends. And then go forward and forward and forward and not let it get me down. Folks, that's our promise. He intended, what He intended was that now through the church, God's Son's bride, the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose that He may accomplish in Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't care if you aspire or you intend to make the presidency of any country, the leader of any political party, the ruler of any financial kingdom. Those things don't matter. Rockefeller and a whole list of very rich people. There's a lot of shows about those people. How wealthy they were and how much money they made. But you know, it never tells at the end of the story how much they left behind. All of it. They couldn't take any with them. so we use what we've got here on earth and make something good out of it. That's what the promise, that's what the requirement is, that's what our suggestion is, that's what we need to do. And that's God's wisdom, to know when the earthly things will pass. If you want something to do, like you've got nothing else to do, go home on the internet and look up great dynasties of history. Now, I'm not talking about the TV show, you know, and all that, or Dallas. I'm talking about the dynasties, the Ming dynasties, the Egyptian dynasties, the Roman Empire, the English Empire, all those great dynasties going way back thousands of years. Babylon, if you wish, Persia, ancient Persia, if you want to. And you know where they all are now? In the history books. Because they couldn't succeed. They couldn't keep going. And the only thing that's permanent is things that are attached to God. And when we understand that, and when we buy that, when we believe that, when we accept that, when we live for that, then we are blessed. Now, I doubt if there's a person in here, except maybe our three under 20-year-olds, that have not been sick a day in your life. I thought about 2 weeks ago that I was done for. They did the x-rays on me. They thought I had pneumonia. They thought I had lung cancer. There's a bunch of stuff they thunk I had. No, I just had allergies. It was choking me to death. You know, these hillbilly boys don't have all that Florida allergy stuff prepared. But it's okay. Because if it's that short a time, I'm ready. And I hope we're all ready. Oh, that great song, that resurrection morning when the saints in Christ shall rise. I'll have a new body. That's a promise. His intent now that the church, the manifold wisdom of God, should be made known to all the rulers, to everyone, in Him, through faith in Him. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which is your glory. When someone goes out of the way to do something nice for you, you've been invited places. You may have even been a surprise birthday party or some kind of gala. Somebody put a lot of effort into it. And you want to be thankful for them and appreciate what you were given. Well, God gave us life, number one. God has given us hope, number two, through Christ. Why should we not be happy and enjoy what we've gotten? I go on. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derived its name, God the Father. I pray that of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. In the second chapter of Acts, Peter preaches that great sermon, the day of Pentecost. And he simply says, "What must I do to be saved?" They did. And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of the sins of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit." That tells us that as a Christian, God's Spirit is within us. Now, how much control we give the Spirit is entirely up to us. And whether He lets us work within us is entirely up to us. We are not puppets. We are not marionettes. We're not threatened by anything. We just need to do what the opportunities allow us to do. We need to be positive. And folks, it's going to be very easy from now till the end of next November. Not this one, but the next one. To get negative. There's going to be a lot of stuff said. There's already been a lot of stuff said. And we haven't got a run and go yet. Don't let it get to you. Be positive. For he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Satan is at battle with us at all times. We can't let him win. We must not let him win. And when we surrender to him simply by not doing anything positive or allowing God to work in us, then he wins. And that is not good. He goes on. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I firmly believe, from reading the books, all 66, primarily the New Testament books, that God wants to be a part of our lives. Now, He's not going to make it happen. He's going to allow it to happen. Becky's got on some channel. I can't figure out how to get it off. Lifeline, Loveline, I don't know, something line. And they're all love stories. I woke up to somebody selling a book. She's going to write a book. And she wants to be a chef. I'm thinking, there's a lot of strange love stories. Well, yeah, we fell in love back when we were in the third grade and, you know, was in the coat room kissing and all we're doing is we got young people here. Never mind. But I just simply want to say, when did you know you were in love the first time? First time you saw her, right, Owen? That's what happened to Becky and me. I wanted to ask her best friend out until I saw her and that was all over. 49 and a half years. I'm not having a bidding contest with you one today. You got a head start. But the thing is, God loved us before we were. And we need to understand that and put it to use. Now, you may feel unloved. Some of the saddest two TV shows you see on TV. Remember Sally Struthers?
Yeah.
Back when she was that little curly-headed girl with Archie Bunker's daughter, she'd have some tears coming down and let's bless this and give money and 7.5 cents a day we'll buy a bowl of porridge, I don't know what all. And they'd play that at midnight and you'd be tears coming down your eyes. And the other one is the same thing except it's the puppies.
Yeah.
And I think people are more responsive to the puppies that's been abandoned than it is about the kids. I'm not sure. But to get our juices all flowing because we care about something else. How important that is that we care about something else and that we do care. He goes on in verse 18. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Mommy, how much do you love me? Oh, this much. You've heard that. Can we describe how much Jesus loves us? Let me give you one example. 3 nails and a piece of wood. We call it the cross. We're told no greater love as a person who dies for a brother. Jesus died for all of us, even though most of those who he died for never were born. That's true love. You may be filled with a measure of the fullness of God, taking in everything that we've got and using it. They say, again, they, of course I know who they was, that Einstein, an average person uses about 10% of their brain, Einstein about 15 or so. How much of our love capacity do we use? Probably very little. Because there's a lot of people we can love and help, just as Christ did. He goes on, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. We don't know what all God can do. Now, I am a creationist. I personally will tell you that I believe God made it happen just like it says in the Bible. If you have that much power and authority that you can say, let there be earth, let there be water, let there be daylight, let there be dark, how much more power do you have in love? And so often, we're not successful because we don't allow for help. Do you have a project that you're going to fail at? Until a friend helped you do it, or the teacher, or somebody came and said, let me help you with that. And all of a sudden, it just clicked, and it seemed so much easier. Life is that way. No matter how much we struggle with life, there's always something can be done and help. God loved you first. Love him back. Our Him of Invitation Decision Day is hymn number of what? 498. I actually remember, Dad. Hymn number 498. Stand with me as we sing that. If you've got a decision to make for Jesus, come forward in that time.
This is for your sermon. This song.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be.